Think about this. Warren Buffett, the Oracle of Omaha himself, once bought a shoe company and later called it one of his worst decisions ever. If someone with Buffett's track record can stumble spectacularly, what does that tell us about the rest of us? The uncomfortable truth is that investing isn't a game where genius guarantees victory. Even the brightest minds on Wall Street, Nobel Prize winners, legendary traders, billionaire fund managers, have made mistakes that would make your average retail investor blush. These aren't just cautionary tales about greed or recklessness. They're windows into something deeper, the universal patterns of human psychology that trip us up regardless of IQ or experience. Success in markets isn't about never falling down. It's about understanding why we fall, learning from others who face-planted before us, and developing the emotional armor to keep going. Because in investing, experience remains the most brutal teacher, and wisdom comes from watching others pay tuition. Benjamin Graham literally wrote the book on value investing. Before him, stock picking was closer to fortune-telling than financial analysis. He transformed investing into a discipline by recognizing a simple truth: price and value aren't the same thing. His margin of safety principle, buying stocks significantly below what they're actually worth, became gospel for generations of investors. Graham understood that markets aren't rational calculators, but emotional creatures, with prices swinging wildly while underlying business values remain stable. His Mr. Market allegory captured this perfectly. Imagine a manic, depressive business partner who shows up daily offering to buy or sell his stake at wildly different prices based purely on mood. But here's where it gets interesting. During the Great Depression, Graham lost 70% of his wealth. 70%! The father of value investing watched his carefully calculated margins of safety evaporate as cheap stocks got cheaper and then cheaper still. This wasn't a failure of intelligence, but a confrontation with reality. Value investing isn't foolproof, cheap can always become cheaper, and sometimes value never materializes at all. What made Graham truly great wasn't his initial success, but his intellectual humility. By 1976, he acknowledged that detailed security analysis offered fewer advantages than before because everyone was doing it. Wall Street's collective brilliance had essentially canceled itself out. He recognized that future price movements represent what nobody knows, not what the smartest people think they know. Though Graham wouldn't grasp why Amazon's market cap could surge $350 billion despite razor-thin margins, while Walmart shed value despite fat profits, he'd recognize the emotional drivers behind it. His enduring lesson? Respect value, but don't worship it. There are no ironclad laws in markets, only principles that work until suddenly they don't. Jesse Livermore invented trading maxims we still quote. Never meet a margin call, cut your losses quickly, don't overtrade. Yet he couldn't follow his own advice. Starting as a board boy at Payne Webber in 1877, he made $100 million shorting the 1929 crash. By 1934, he'd lost it all. By 1940, he'd taken his own life. Livermore knew exactly what to do, but couldn't execute when emotions took control. Daniel Kahneman proved we have two decision-making systems, fast and emotional versus slow and rational. The most dangerous risk isn't ignorance, it's the illusion of knowledge combined with an inability to act on what we know. Mark Twain made readers laugh until they cried, but couldn't stop himself from crying over investments. The Page compositor consumed $300,000 before failing. By age 56, Twain was bankrupt with $100,000 in debt. He embarked on a grueling global comedy tour to repay every creditor, succeeding by 1898. Yet he never lost his speculative nature, telling his friend Rogers, "Don't leave me out, I want to be in with the other capitalists." When investments turn sour, we face brutal mathematics. A 20% loss requires a 25% gain to break even. An 80% loss demands a 400% gain. Investors cling to losing positions, hoping to sell when they get back to even. But your purchase price is meaningless. The market doesn't care what you paid. Decide before investing how much you're willing to lose, ensuring logic drives decisions rather than desperate hope. John Merriweather's long-term capital management, launched in 1994 with $1.25 billion, delivering 43% returns in 1995 and 41% in 1996. Their 1996 profits of $2.1 billion exceeded McDonald's, Disney, and Merrill Lynch combined. When partners Robert Merton and Myron Scholes won the Nobel Prize in 1997, it seemed like validation. But competitors caught up. At year-end 1997, they returned $2.7 billion to investors while keeping positions unchanged, cranking leverage from 18-1 to 28-1. Russia's 1998 crisis triggered catastrophe. LTCM lost $550 million in one day, far exceeding their calculated $35 million daily risk. The Federal Reserve orchestrated a $3.6 billion bailout. Their fatal flaw? Believing models could capture human behavior. Isaac Newton, with his 190 IQ, lost his fortune in the South Sea bubble. I can calculate the motion of heavenly bodies, but not the madness of people. Intelligence plus overconfidence creates danger. This pattern repeats endlessly. Jerry Tsai returned 296% from 1957 to 1965, but his Manhattan Fund collapsed 90%. Internet managers were visionaries until NASDAQ crashed 78%. Mortgage specialists were geniuses until the housing bubble burst. Crypto experts were revolutionary until 2018's 85% crash. The challenge, distinguishing skill from luck, requires decades of data, but investors judge on years. As Warren Buffett noted, only when the tide goes out do you discover who's been swimming naked. The tide always goes out. Jack Bogle's Vanguard 500 Index Fund now manages $292 billion, making it the world's largest mutual fund. But when it launched in 1976, Wall Street mocked it as Bogle's folly. Wellington's disastrous 1966 merger sent portfolio turnover soaring from 15% to 25% and stock allocation from 55% to nearly 80%. When the go-go 1960s ended, Wellington's iVest fund lost 55% versus the S&P 500's 31% decline. Bogle was fired as CEO in 1974. From this humiliation, he created Vanguard and launched the first index investment trust. By 2016, Vanguard's $289 billion in net flows exceeded all 4,000 other global fund providers combined. His story proves that investing is a journey of self-discovery. The key isn't finding the best approach, it's finding one that works for you and sticking with it. Michael Steinhardt generated 24.5% annual returns over nearly three decades, focusing on U.S. stocks. Then he wandered outside his expertise. In 1994, managing nearly $5 billion, he ventured into global bonds and currencies, markets where he lacked an edge. He lost $800 million in 4 days following a Federal Reserve rate hike, a catastrophic 29% loss that left him mentally drained. Warren Buffett exemplified disciplined restraint during the late 1990s tech bubble. While Berkshire Hathaway shares were cut in half, Buffett refused to invest in technologies he didn't understand. At the 1999 Sun Valley conference, he warned tech executives about market excesses, advice that seemed like sour grapes as Berkshire lost 12% while the NASDAQ 100 gained 74%. The lesson? Recognize your limitations and avoid overconfidence. Successful investing doesn't require extraordinary performance, just avoiding major errors by staying within your circle of competence. As Charlie Munger says, knowing what you don't know is more useful than being brilliant. Buffett has mentioned mistake 163 times in his annual letters, normalizing failure as part of investing. This candor represents one of his greatest strengths, confronting his own fallibility. Overconfidence is perhaps the most dangerous cognitive bias in investing. Studies show 93% of Americans believe they're above-average drivers, and similar delusions plague investors, leading to excessive trading, concentrated positions, and refusal to admit mistakes. Bill Ackman's Herbalife battle demonstrates putting reputation before returns. After publicly calling Herbalife a pyramid scheme, the stock initially dropped 35% but rebounded. By declaring his highest conviction ever, Ackman created an impossible situation where admitting defeat would damage his credibility. The stock climbed 70% higher than his short position. Had he kept his position private, he could have easily admitted error. To combat overconfidence, establish clear exit plans before investing using predetermined price levels or loss thresholds. As Charlie Munger says, part of what you must learn is how to handle mistakes and new facts that change the odds. Successful investors aren't those who never make mistakes. They're the ones who recognize when they're wrong and have the courage to change course. Most Americans invest to beat inflation, but billionaires with unspendable wealth chase market-beating returns for the ultimate intellectual challenge. Paul Tudor Jones called the market the most exciting and most challenging game in 1987. Despite his billions, he still manages his fund 30 years later. The market's unique addiction stems from its endless evolution. Every minute brings new information, with pieces constantly zigging and zagging and rules perpetually shifting. John Maynard Keynes grasped the disconnect between what markets should do and what they actually do. He compared investing to a newspaper contest, where competitors pick not the prettiest faces, but those they believe others will select. After losing 80% of his wealth in the Great Crash, Keynes transformed from macro speculator to value investor, returning 16% annually from 1922, 1946, versus the market's 10.4%. The irony wasn't lost on Keynes, who wrote, "In the long run, we are all dead," yet embraced long-term investing. His intellectual flexibility, a renowned economist completely reversing his investment approach, offers the most valuable lesson: recognizing when you're wrong and having the courage to change course. Surviving investors aren't those who never make mistakes, they're the ones who learn, adapt, and move forward. These catastrophic mistakes reveal a harsh truth. Intelligence, credentials, and past success offer no protection against psychological forces driving poor decisions. Benjamin Graham lost 70% despite inventing value investing. Jesse Livermore knew every rule but couldn't follow them. Nobel Prize winners at LTCM believed they'd mastered risk before losing billions. What separates survivors from failures isn't superior intelligence, it's emotional discipline, intellectual humility, and learning from mistakes without being destroyed by them. Markets punish overconfidence with brutal efficiency. The mathematics are unforgiving. A 50% loss requires 100% gain to recover. An 80% loss demands 400%. These numbers represent years of compounding lost forever. The solution isn't avoiding risk, but managing it through self-awareness and systematic safeguards. Establish clear rules before investing, predetermined exit points, and written investment theses. Keep positions sized so no single mistake destroys your portfolio. Stay within your circle of competence. As Charlie Munger says, it is remarkable how much long-term advantage people like us have gotten by trying to be consistently not stupid instead of trying to be very intelligent. Investment success isn't built on genius. It's built on avoiding major mistakes and changing your mind when evidence demands it.